why they're here, and they serve as examples for all of us. It's been said that those, can you imagine if those who were living in the beginning of our nation, our founding fathers, we talked earlier about what's going on in our nation, if our founding fathers could speak to us today, what do you think they would say? If those, the generations who have gone on before us, could speak to you and I now, what kind of message do you think they would deliver? If it was possible for the dead to speak, that would be really challenging. Wouldn't that be something if you were at a funeral service, and as the funeral was being conducted, and the pastor was up giving the message, and the person was in the casket, and then you could imagine all of a sudden, as you're eulogizing the person, in the middle of the service, the person sits up and starts to speak. What would you do? Could you imagine the shock? Because those who are dead can't usually speak. It's not possible for that. But today we're going to look at, by faith, through the power of faith, one person, a man who continues to speak to us even to this day. And that by faith, he continues to give us a strong message of what it means of faithful living. And what living by faith can do in our life and the difference it can make. Remember, the writer of Hebrews has been writing to the Hebrew believers to encourage them in their faith. Because in the midst of hardship, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of adversity, they were ready and to fall away. They were ready to give up on Christ and forsake him. And the difficulties were getting too hard for them. And so he was writing and now giving them a list of many people who overcame in the midst of hardship and adversity. Today, he begins this chapter of the Hall of Fame with Abel. Abel takes us all the way back to the beginning. You find his story in Genesis chapter 4. And if you want to open your Bibles there to Genesis 4 as well as Hebrews 11 and keep your finger there because we're going to be referring back to that chapter. We first meet him. He was one of the two sons of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had, after the fall, had two children, Cain, Abel. Cain was the Bible says, a tiller of the ground or a farmer. He was one of the first farmers. Abel was a shepherd. The first shepherds took care of the sheep. And they were raised by Adam and Eve to follow God and to worship him. We read in chapter 4 that they both brought a sacrifice to the Lord. Cain brought fruit. Abel brought portions of a lamb. And they brought them to the Lord. And if you know the story, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, and he rejected Cain's. Abel was commended by God. Cain was rejected by God in his sacrifice. Cain got angry, if you remember the story. And Cain got angry that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not his. And his anger led to jealousy and to anger, which eventually led to murder. And you know the story, he killed his brother. The first murder happened. How sad it was, and remember, God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Satan came to him and said, you will not die. God knows, and he's holding out on you. You're not going to die. Well, Adam and Eve ate of the tree, as you know, and they didn't experience physical death that day, but they experienced spiritual death. They were separated from God. Adam wasn't going to die till some 930 years later, but the very next chapter, death came in to the home of Adam and Eve already. And the very first death happened through a murder, and it didn't take long for death to be passed onto the world through sin. But before we get into looking at this verse in greater detail and the lessons we can learn from Abel and his faith as he speaks to us today, there's a question we need to answer, and maybe you've thought this, as you've heard this story before. And this is a story we all know from Sunday school growing up in the church. But have you ever had this question? There's two we really need to ponder. And it's, why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? And why did God reject Cain's? Did you ever think of that? Because really, We can't go on in this verse and why he was commended and why he was put into the Hall of Fame until we get an answer to that question and learn what is it that we are to learn from this part of the Word of God today. Why did God accept Abel and why did God reject Cain? Many Bible scholars have tried to give a lot of answers to that question. Some have taught that the reason why God accepted Abel's sacrifice was because his was a blood sacrifice. His was the blood of a lamb. It was a lamb and it had blood in it. And the fruit didn't have blood in it. And so God didn't accept Cain's because it was fruit and not an animal. But later on, when God gave sacrifices through Moses, there was times he allowed for grain offerings. You may remember that. He allowed for fruit offerings and first fruit to be brought to him. So I don't think it was that particularly. The Bible doesn't give us a reason. If you would go back to Genesis, and let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, and we see the story. We're going to pick up in verse 2. It says, later she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Cain brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. All the Bible says is that they both brought an offering and what they brought. And it doesn't say, and it says that God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. It doesn't tell us why. So we can only speculate why God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. From Genesis, God didn't tell us there. But when we get to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, I think we get a clue, and I think we get the answer to that question. Because let's look back again in Hebrews 4, 11, verse 4. And Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, notice three words repeated. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was commended a righteous man because of his offering. God spoke well of it. And by faith, he speaks even though he's still dead. Looking at that first, you get kind of an indication of the answer to that question. Why do you think God accepted Abel's sacrifice? Because he presented it by faith. I think that's what the Lord's telling us, that he brought his offering in faith and by faith. So we can infer from that Abel brought his sacrifice in faith, but Cain did not. He brought his offering, but he didn't bring it in faith. So why did he bring it? It wasn't that Cain didn't believe in God, he did. It wasn't that he didn't worship God, because he did. He worshiped the Lord just as Abel did. He believed that God in God, he brought him an offering. But it could be that Cain brought his out of obligation. He brought it out of with the wrong heart attitude. He brought it not in faith, but maybe to get something from the Lord. But he didn't come with the proper attitude. And why is that key? Because we can come to church every week. We can bring him the offering of our praise. We can bring him the offering of our worship. And we can just go through the motions and not really have our heart in it. Not really coming in faith. Not really coming, but maybe coming out of obligation. Maybe coming out of because we think it's expected. Maybe Cain thought God expected him to do that, so he did. And not really coming out of a heart of faith. And it was that that God smiled on. And it was that Abel that God blessed, because it was by faith. We saw last week what faith is. And so Abel stands as the first example of a man living by faith, who was going to overcome some hard, difficult challenges. So Cain continues to speak, and his life is a witness to us, even though he is dead all these years. The Bible says by faith he continues to speak. And if Abel could speak to us this morning, I believe there are several things he would tell us on what living by faith means that we can learn from him. So let's look at the Word of God together and discover briefly five lessons that we can learn from Abel's life on what living by faith means. that if he could stand here before us this morning and he could give his testimony of a life lived by faith, this is what I believe Abel will tell us. First lesson we learn is that faith gives God your very best. If we're living a life of faith, we want to give God the very best that we have. Not hold out, but give him our best. We get a clue as we go back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's go back there again. We get a clue of how Abel and Cain brought their offerings. It says that in verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the, what's that word? Don't go over it too quickly. Some of the firstborn, get that, of the flock, meaning his best. The firstborn, the best that he had, not the leftover rams, but the best one. He chose as he looked over his flock and he was going to give the first one that was born back to God. Whereas Cain might have looked over his fruit, and I'm speculating here, but he might have looked over his fruit and said, well, I see some here that's kind of decaying. You know, it's kind of rotten. It's not the best. I'm going to keep the best of the fruit for me, and I'm going to give this to God. The Bible doesn't say that, but I'm speculating in that case because of it said that Abel gave the firstborn, and Cain just gave some of the fruit. But from Abel, we learn that we need to give God our very best that we have. To honor him, the fact the scripture says to honor the Lord with the first fruits. The first fruits means the first portion. Not giving God the leftovers in our giving, but giving him the first right off the top. All that he has blessed us with. As the creator of the universe, he deserves our very best, doesn't he? And he deserves the very best in our time, in our treasure, and in our talent. And that's a lesson we learned, that if we are living a life by faith, we're going to give God the very best. God does not like leftovers. He wants to have the original. Now, several years ago, back when we had our 25th anniversary, Kim and I went to Tennessee on our trips down there. And as you all know, Kim's a Tennessee Vols football fan, and so am I. And I had arranged as part of our trip that time down there to get a tour of Neyland Stadium, where the Tennessee Vols play. And we were going to have a private tour there. Then we were going to go later on in the week for a football game, which was really a blast. It was so fun. But we got a tour behind the scenes up into the big seating area where the skyboxes are, where all the rich people sit. We got to see up there. And then they took us down into the locker room where the Vols get ready to come out to the field and where they get dressed and get ready to go on to the field before the game. And as you go out of the locker room, ready to go into the field, the last thing that the Vols see is this sign that says, I will give my all for Tennessee today. And they see that, and it's a challenge that as they go out onto the field and they run out of the locker room onto the field into the middle of the tee in the band, if you've ever seen the tradition, they're to give their all, and they all touch that, and they're way out pledging they're going to give everything they have on the field and not leave anything behind, and that's why they can beat LSU, George. And not leave anything behind, but leave it all there on the field. That at the end of the day, when the clock counts down to zero and the game is over, they should have no regrets that I don't have because they gave everything they had. They spent all their energy for the team. That's how our life should be, living our life of faith for the Lord, right? Living, giving everything we have for the Lord. And our motto should be, I will give my all for the Lord today. And that should be what we say as we get up in the morning, we put our feet on the bed. Lord, I'm going to give my all for you today. Not going to leave anything behind. I'm going to put it all on the field for you. That at the end of the day, I can put my head in the pillow and say, I have no regrets. I've given it all to you today. And then when the clock hits zero and we cross that finish line, there's no regrets because we've given it all to Christ. Faith gives our very best. That's one of the reasons why Abel was commended. He gave the first fruits of the best of his flock to the Lord. Faith gives the very best. But second, faith walks in obedience to God's word. We see that as they brought the sacrifice, God told Adam, I'm sure whenever Adam and Eve had sinned and Adam was hiding out in the garden, you remember the story, he tried to cover himself with fig leaves. And he tried to make an atonement covering for himself with fig leaves, and that didn't work. And God took an animal and slain it and made a covering for him out of animal skins. And God told Adam and Eve how to restore and how to have that relationship. And I'm sure he told them what kind of sacrifice he required and desired. And Adam and Eve passed that on to Cain and Abel. And when they came with the sacrifice, Abel came in obedience. And he brought the sacrifice in obedience to God. But Cain didn't. And when we get to chapter 4 of Genesis, we see that God confronted Cain about that. And God came to him and said, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you would bring the sacrifice in the way that I desire, I would accept it. Because the Lord says to obey is better than sacrifice. And he said, if you'd bring it in the way I require, I would accept that. And Cain's response was he got angry. He got angry with God to the point so angry he didn't listen. The Lord says, listen, because sin's crouching at the door to take you. And he refused to listen to God. And he ended up killing his brother. And he was judged and sent away in separation for God for the rest of his life. But Abel walked in obedience. And faith walks in obedience to God and his word. And because we love him, we obey him not out of compulsion, not out of force, but because we love him. Not out of fear of judgment, out of love for our Lord. As you're living a life of faith, as God speaks to you in his word, as he leads you through his spirit, keep in step with him, keep in step with his spirit, and listen to what he has to say to you, and then walk in obedience. And that is the way of living a life of faith. Trust and obey. Remember the rest of it, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but that. Third lesson we learn from his life is that faith leads to God's acceptance. Again, verse 4 of chapter 11 says, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. That shows, again, he offered his best. By faith, he offered his best. It was a better sacrifice. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. God received him because of his faith. God looked with favor on Abel's sacrifice because it was presented in faith. Cain's was presented in obligation, but it is only by faith that we are saved. It is only by faith we have that acceptance of God, and it is only by faith that we can approach him. And it is not by anything else. And as you come to God, it's that he requires. It's that he's looking for, is that simple faith of trusting and relying in him, not in ourselves. And our works will not bring us any point of acceptance before God, and we've been learning that through Hebrews. And Hebrews is making that very clear to us. And our worship should be pleasing and acceptable to God. And whatever it is you offer to him, he will accept that when it's offered in faith. I think of the story of the small boy who gave his lunch to Jesus in the midst of the multitude of all those 5,000 men plus women and children that were along the hillside of Galilee that day listening to Jesus teach. And as Jesus said to his disciples, find them something to eat. They said, how are we going to do that? We don't have enough money to buy food for all these people. I would say that the disciples' faith was pretty small that day, wouldn't you? They said, how are we going to feed all these people? Even if we had enough money, we couldn't buy it for everybody to get just a small bite. But they went out, and Jesus said, "Well, look, go through the crowd and see what you can find." They went out to the crowd and found this small boy's lunch. Few fish and a little couple pieces of bread and a few small fish. And they brought it to Jesus, and that little boy gave that little bit to Jesus in faith. And the Lord accepted it, and he blessed it, and as you know the story, he multiplied it. Any little thing you give to the Lord in faith, he will bless, he will accept. And that's what brings us God's acceptance and favor. And he smiles on that when you exercise and demonstrate your faith. When you go through the hard times in life, and when you go through the challenges, and you go through the deaths, and you go through the sickness, you go through the financial downturns, and you keep your faith, and your faith is strong, God smiles on you. His favor rests on you. Because that's how his favor is granted. Not by what we do, but by our simple living by faith. That's why all these people are commended in the book. Yeah, they did some great, amazing things, as we're going to see as we look at Noah and some of the others. They did some great, amazing things, but it was their faith that they were commended for. And that's why it's an encouragement to all of us, because we may not ever do anything that people may think extraordinary, but when we live by faith every day, God blesses that and he's honored. And that's all he asks of us. And when we stand before him at the end, that's all he's going to say is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That commends us. You want to be accepted, you want to make God smile on you today, this week, just live every day by faith. Just be faithful to him. And that brings his favor. Not in what we do, not in the amount of any good works, but in the amount of our favor. And as we bring our worship to him, may it be acceptable and pleasing. Also, fourth thing Abel would say to us is that faith may cost you personally. Another lesson we can learn from Abel's life as he continues to speak to us is that faith may cost us something. And often it does. That's why perhaps the writer of Hebrews began with Abel as an example of faith to the Hebrew believers. Remember, put it in a context again. They were facing persecution. Their lives might have been taken from them on account of living for Jesus. They might be facing death or the confiscation of their property or anything that could come their way. And they were thinking of giving up. But Abel stands as an example as the first man who was martyred because of his faith in the Lord. And was faithful to him. And it cost him, as you know the story. Abel's faith was opposed by his brother Cain. Because he brought his faith, his offering to the Lord, and the Lord accepted it, Cain got jealous. And he got angry. And even though the Lord confronted him and gave Cain a chance to repent, he refused. And in his anger, he killed his brother. And Abel's faith led to his death. How's that apply to your life and mine? Because when you and I seek to have a passionate relationship with the Lord and seek to live our life by faith every day and want to go closer to him and want to have that intimacy, not everybody is going to be happy with your and I's commitment to Christ. You know that? And sometimes we learn from Cain that opposition may become strongest in our families. Those that are closer to you, have you ever had that? That when you seek to live for Christ and you want to be passionate in your faith and grow close to him, you find opposition. Not everybody in your family is happy about it. Your friends, your associates, and it may cost us something. It may cost us our reputation. It may cost us our reputation. It may cost us our job. It may cost us friends. Or in the case of Abel, it cost him his life. But there's far more important is having the relationship with Christ that we're going to have at the end. And Abel, even though he was killed by his brother, he received eternal life. So realize that, and the Hebrew believers needed to realize that faith, Jesus said, if we're going to come to him, you got to count the cost of what it means to be a disciple. Yes, living by faith is wonderful, but it may cost us something. Not everybody's going to be thrilled about it. Not everybody's going to be happy. And maybe that's closer to you. Maybe that's within your family. And faith leaves a lasting legacy. Verse 4 ends by saying, by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. Even though Abel was killed at the hand of his brother as the first murder, the first person ever died in this recorded scripture and in the world, he continues to speak. And it's interesting because the scripture never records for us one single word that Abel ever spoke while he lived. It does Cain. And you remember it shows Cain's argument with God. And then when God came and confronted Cain after he killed his brother and said, where is your brother? You remember Cain's answer, am I my brother's keeper? I'm not responsible for the little guy. How do I know? Don't ask me. You're God. You're supposed to know that. Cain's words are recorded, but Abel's words, if you look, there's not one single word recorded about what he ever said while he lived on earth. But Hebrews 11:4 says that his life is a powerful witness, and he continues to speak to this day of what it means to live by faith. Why? Because he left behind a legacy of what living by faith means. And I ask you, what kind of legacy are you seeking to leave behind? At your funeral service someday, and it's a morbid thing to think about, but at your funeral service someday, what do you think people will say about you? How are you living your life now to leave a legacy and impact those who come behind you and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, those who are going to follow on behind us? What kind of legacy of faith will you leave to them? Because the greatest thing we can leave is that legacy of faith, of a life lived well for the Lord, that would speak, continues to speak, that years after you're gone, people will look back on your life and say, well, you know, there's Donna. And boy, she was a person who just lived for the Lord, and I just want to follow her example. A person who lived for Christ. And the rest of your, and an emulation of a legacy of a life well lived. Faith changes everything. And Abel continues to speak to us, and by faith, it gives God our best, walks in obedience to the Lord, leads to God's acceptance, may cost us something, and leaves a lasting legacy. Run the race well, giving him your best, but run the race to leave behind a legacy of faith that others may look to and follow. That it, even though you may be gone years ahead, people will continue, your life will continue to speak, and people continue to come to Jesus through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Abel. And he continues to speak to us, Lord, of a man who lived by faith, that we can example and we can emulate. And you put him in your hall of fame. You commended him because of a simple act here of bringing an offering to you with the right heart attitude. Bringing an offering to you in faith. And Lord, it reminds us the importance that when we drop our offering in the plate, that we bring you our praise, that we bring you our worship, that whatever we give you every day, that we need to give you our best. Not hold back the best for ourselves, but give you, don't hold anything back, but lay it all out for you. Lord, may we give every day, begin every day with that, I will give my all to you today. In my work, in whatever, I mean, my relationships, in whatever we do, that we give it the best for you. Because you reminded us in whatever we do, in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of Jesus and to your glory and in your name. And Lord, in that, you accept those demonstrations of faith living out in our life every day. Those small things of faith and faithfulness, you accept that and you smile upon that in favor. And Lord, that we would want to live our life in a way that we are seeking to leave a legacy to those behind us. The best thing we can leave behind is a life lived of faith. Not a legacy with our name on a building or a lot of money, but the legacy of a man or woman of faith that others can look to as an example to continue to run the race in their day. And we can pass on that faithfulness to those behind us. That even though we may be gone, our life can continue to speak of a person who lived for you and was faithful to you to the end. And Lord, give us strength to know that our faith may cost us something. It may bring opposition from our family, from our friends, from our loved ones. They may not be happy with our relationship to you. We may be mocked. We may be ridiculed. But Lord, faith in you is rewarded. And it is only by faith that we will ever enter that place of acceptance before you. So Lord, increase our faith when it's small. And help us, Lord, to learn how to live by faith and in your faith every day. This week, the week ahead of us, as we journey with you, as we walk step in step with your Spirit. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.